occurred before, and I'm sorry, I don't know the man's name. It doesn't really matter anymore to me now. I've heard his messages before. Most of the time, I've agreed completely with what he says. Most of the time, he preaches the gospel. And yesterday, he got away from himself a little bit. And in the point of making, or in the attempt to make and declare 8 points that the Bible makes of the works that men do, works that do not bring or merit salvation, but works that do not make men worthy of heaven, but works that prove that they are worthy. And then he made a bold statement that caused me to turn the radio off. A statement that I cannot agree with. He said this. He said, "We are worthy of heaven when we come to Christ." Statements people make, as you well know, can be said one way and taken another unless you're bold about it and very clear. By making that statement, this man has opened the door for what most religions have already stepped through. Oh, okay, so that means if I come to Christ, if I make a decision, if I do the works of what I think I should do, then I can come to Christ and I'll be worthy of heaven. Now that may or not be what he was meaning. I'm going to tell you now, he might have gone on to be more clarifying of what he said, but when he said that, he opened the door for anybody who stopped listening to him at that moment and think that very thing. And God's preachers have to be bold. Pastor Gene Harmon stood in this pulpit for almost 38 years and declared that free will is a false teaching. In our Bible study this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself taught His disciples that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious, pompous people of that day, and they were religious, they followed the law the best that they thought they could. They were doing all the things that they thought they were supposed to. They thought they were righteous. But our Lord Jesus told them, "No, you're just a bunch of proud, self-righteous people." And he taught his disciples to speak boldly about that. My title this morning is this: Worthy of Heaven. I would not agree with what that man said. Works do accompany as a result of God's grace in us. I love people around me now where I didn't love them before. Now, I'm not going to sit here and try to confuse you and make you think that I love people just because I started loving them. I love people because I see what my Lord has done for me. I see what my God has done in forgiving John. And when we know what our Lord has done for us, for those that He has loved from before the world began, when we see the wonders of our Lord and Savior, that He went to the cross and shed His own blood for us, how can we not turn to those of the world and say, "I was just like that. Maybe God will save you too. Lord, have mercy on this one. Lord, have mercy on that one." Grace gives us grace. But nothing man can do at any time, in any way, or in any form, can make us worthy of going to heaven. And that most definitely includes our coming to Christ. Dead men don't get up and come to anything. And God's word declares all men to be dead in trespasses and sin. All. Not just some. And you can't get up and walk away from it. You are born in sin. Our coming to Christ is a result. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John, if you would. Chapter 4. Our coming to Christ is a result of His love for us. Lazarus came forth bound hand and foot in his burial clothes just to prove that it was the power of God giving him life to hear the Lord of glory say, "Lazarus, come forth." To prove that it wasn't Lazarus coming up on his own free will. He came to God wrapped in his burial clothes. And it wasn't until he came to the Lord Jesus Christ where the Lord said, "Loose him. Let him go." That's what Jesus does. He gives life to dead people. It's called quickening. That's what the old word is, given life. And he does it through the preaching of his gospel. How are you going to call on somebody who you've never heard? You're not hearing it from most of the churches in today's world. In today's world, they're talking about a Jesus who wants you to do this, and if you'll do this, he'll give you this. Salvation is not an offer. Salvation is a declaration. Amen. You see, the truth of the matter, folks, is if you belong to God, if you're one of His children, if He has chosen you from before the world began to be predestinated to be like Him, you were worthy of heaven before the world was ever created. You say, "Well, how can that be, John? I wouldn't even walk on earth then." He says, God the Father looked down and he said, "My son is going to pay your sins in full. I look on you right now as worthy as he." I know that's hard. That's hard stuff to believe. That's hard stuff to wrap our little minds around. But it's God's word. There's no interpretation to it. I don't have to stand here and tell you this is what this means. It's His word, plain and simple. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And those that come to me I will in no wise cast out. That's His word. How often we speak of God's love for His people, an everlasting love, a love that was placed on a chosen people before the world was. Coming to Christ is a result of that love. Look at verse 10, if you would, of 1 John chapter 4. Herein is love. Not that we love God. Folks, I love my Lord for what He's done for me. And I would assume and presume that you do too. If He's died for you and He has shown you His mercy and grace, I would assume that you love Him just as much as I do. But folks, our love is filled with sin. Until the day that our Lord takes us out of this body of sin, we will continue to have sin in our bodies. We'll continue to be nothing but sin in this flesh. But in our spirit, Christ dwelleth in us. In our spirit, we are as perfect and holy as He is. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the expiation, the payment, the cost for our sins. Now, with that in mind, You may ask, am I really worthy of heaven? And I tell you, if you belong to God, yes you are. Right now. Here in 1 John, we see this most assuredly. Look down at verse 17 with me if you would. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now look at these next words. Look at these words close, folks. This is talking to you and I. This is talking to us. We can boldly say this very thing because as He is, as our Savior is. My question to you is Jesus Christ worthy of heaven? Is the Lord of glory worthy of heaven? What's He tell us here? Because as He is, so are we in this world. Not when we get to heaven, right now. God the Father looks down on each and every one of His people. He looked down on Jacob and Esau before they were born, before they ever had a chance to do good or evil. And He says, I love that one. Why? Because my son died for that one. This one is mine. My son will make a payment for this one. I see no sin in him. He sees no sin in us. Are we worthy of heaven? Yes, we are, right now. As He is, so are we in this world. God the Father looks upon us as we are as perfect as His Son. When the covenant between the great three in one was made, long before a star ever twinkled in the sky, God the Father looked upon that which God the Son would do as though it was done. Why would God the Father think, we'll just wait until you become a man and go to the cross and pay that price, and then I'll, that's what we would do, isn't it? But God the Son is God Almighty in the flesh. When He says something's going to happen, it's going to happen, doesn't it? See, that's the thing about sovereignty. I know the word sovereignty is never used in Scripture, but every page in this book, as we pointed out in Bible study, every page points to the sovereignty of God. He is God Almighty, and He walked in the flesh. What God says will come to pass. In Jeremiah 24, verse 7, it reads this way, and I will give them, speaking of those that were a picture of God's people, speaking of all of Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem. You realize that we're Jewish in God's eyes? We are the Israel. That's what Israel is. It's the chosen people of God throughout all time. From every tongue, from every tribe, from every nation, God has a remnant people for Himself, chosen before the world was, that He would come in the day of His power and call them to life in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will give them an heart to know Me. No, it doesn't say, and maybe they will accept Me. Maybe they'll make a decision for Me. Maybe they'll get baptized for Me. Maybe this, maybe that. No, it says, I will give them an heart to know Me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God. We go out all over the world now on sermon audio. There may be this very moment, somebody may be listening to this and they're like, what are you talking about, John? I'm talking about this. They shall be My people, and I will be their God. In Luke 1, verse 68, it says this, "Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him in all the days of our lives." Look at verse 18. 18 of our text in 1 John chapter 4. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Folks, we have nothing to fear. We are worthy of heaven right now, not because of anything that we could do, not because of any decision that we may have made, not because of anything of this flesh, "for in me dwelleth no good thing." That's what Paul said. And if Paul says that, how should we not also? "In me dwelleth no good thing." We have no confidence in the flesh. Remember that? That means our mind, that means our thoughts, that means our feelings. We have no confidence in that stuff. Our worthiness is not in anything of this flesh. Our worthiness is in our Savior. It's what He has done. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, we have nothing to fear. Judgment has been done. All that you and I are in the sinful flesh has been laid upon our Savior that day that He went to the cross, that day that He shed His blood. It was like in old Israel when they were in Egypt in bondage. What did they do? They took the blood and they put it up here, bring it down all the way along the door there. "Now go inside and kill a lamb." No, I'm sorry. "Go inside first, kill the lamb, and then paint the door with his blood. And now go inside and stay there." And then the angel of death came through. The angel of death is going to come through. What side of the door are you on? We do have a reverential fear. My daddy was a big man. And I feared my daddy when he took the switch out. But I had a reverential fear. I remember when I was a little kid and I would look up and see that big, huge man. I remember a time when I was afraid. I was out hunting. Dad took me out hunting. It was the first time I'd ever shot a shotgun. Oh, that hurt. I didn't really like shooting shotguns again after that. Don't get me wrong. Have your guns. I'll go to war for you to have your guns. I believe in the freedom of the Second Amendment. I just don't exercise it myself, that's all. But Dad took me out in the woods and it got dark. And I was scared. I was afraid. There were animals out there, real big ones. And when Dad came back to the truck, after he and Lee had been out hunting and sat down next to me, I just remember, "Oh, my dad is with me again. He's such a great man. He's so big." That's what reverential fear is. Our God is so great, folks, when He sits down in our hearts and He makes Himself known to us, we have nothing to fear. People go to the grave fearing what's on the other side. Have you ever seen someone who knows not the Lord? passing from death, from life to death, there's a great fear. God's people have nothing to fear. Judgment. And all mankind know what they deserve. That's why there's so many different religions. If all of mankind didn't know what they deserve, then why have any religion at all? There'd be a bunch of atheists is what it would be. But no, we've got a bunch of man-made religions because everybody knows that they're guilty before God. Our judgment, the very judgment that we deserve and have earned in this flesh, has been laid on our Savior. We love Him without fear. We do not fear His wrath. I knew there was something there that I'd forgotten on that page. The wrath of God was laid upon our Savior. The wrath that we have all earned has been taken by our substitute, Christ Jesus the Lord, the Son of the living God. And when He was raised from that grave, when He was raised from death, He sat down at the right hand of God. All power belongs to Him. We who believe God, we who have been given the gift to believe, the gift of faith, have nothing to fear. In Romans 8:31, we read these words, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" I ask you this, is the Christ worthy of heaven? As He is, so are we in this world. The Lord of glory pleased God the Father in all that He did. In Luke 3:22, we read this, "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him, and the voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in Thee I am well pleased." Is He worthy of heaven? Absolutely. The God the Father is as pleased as can be with Him. Has not the Lord of glory put away the sins of His people? Has He not taken those sins and left them not to be seen again? Does not God the Father look upon us as though we have never sinned? That's what Scripture says. God the Son was raised for our justification, and we are now seen just as though we had never sinned. Romans 4:25, who was delivered, speaking of our Lord and Savior, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for what? For our justification. Folks, this is good news to one who is a sinner. Everything's been paid for. You know who our Sabbath is, right? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't worship on Saturday. Saturday's just another day in the week. Our Sabbath is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our rest is. Put away your works. Put away your whatever it is you want to try to do to be make yourself worthy of heaven, because it won't work. The only way to be worthy of heaven is to be in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We see this sin in our flesh, but our spirit is free from it. Free from the bondage of it. Free from the wrath of God for it. He looks upon us as He would His own Son. When the angel of death comes, it passes us by, for the blood of Christ is on our doorpost. Turn to the book containing the revelation of Christ given to St. John, if you would. Now, I read it that way purposely. The world would like to say it this way. Turn to the book of Revelations. But that's not what it is. When you realize that this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, it takes a whole different meaning. Oh, how many men have taken this book and said, see, when this happens, God's coming again. Oh, but if you calculate this, God's just around the corner. It's not going to be long. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to the saint, to Saint John. And John was told to write these things. Look at verse 1, chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him, unto John, to show unto his servants the things that must shortly come to pass, and sent to signify it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince and the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God his Father, to be glory, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He has made us to be priests and kings right now. As he is, so are we in this world. Worthy is the Lamb, is the cry from heaven. And in Christ the Lord, I too am worthy. There is no worthiness of this flesh. There is nothing that I can do or think that can make me worthy. My worthiness is in Christ alone. And because my worthiness is in him, nothing I can do can take that worthiness away. Once again, I must declare this in no way means that we live in sin without remorse. We love this one who first loved us, and now we live under the rule of love. Look at verses 1 and 4 of our text again. Go back to 1 John. Look at verses 1 and 4 of that chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now hold your place and turn back to verse 15 of chapter 2. And read along with me to verse 21. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest. They were not of all of us. But ye have an unction, an anointing, in other words, from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now go back to our text, chapter 4 of 1 John, and let's look at verses 5 through 8. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now once again, hold your place, and this time turn over to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. We've been looking at this in our Bible study. Look at verse 36 with me, if you would. This is a man asking this question to our Lord and Savior. He's come with the Pharisees and the Sadducees who came together. They came together to plot against our Lord and Savior. Our Lord tells us in verse 35 that it's a lawyer, one who is to be sure that the congregation is following the law. He says to our Lord, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And our Lord says unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Is there anyone here today who can do that? He says in verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ooh, I even fall worse than that. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love. My Lord and Savior has fulfilled all this for me. I want to love my neighbors. I desire to love everyone I see. Yet I can't fulfill these commandments any better than I could any of the others. And there's a lot more than 10. Can any of you realize if we fail at one commandment, we have failed them all? But we have a substitute. One who has fulfilled it all perfectly for us. Do you see where our worthiness is coming from? Our worthiness of heaven is not coming from the flesh. It's coming from the love of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Keeping this in mind, return to verse 8 again and read through verse 5 of chapter 5 in our text back in 1 John. I won't be much longer. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Did I start right? No. Sorry, verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God that hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear that hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this is the commandment. This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ, verse 1 of chapter 5, whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also, that is begotten of him, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Who do you say Christ is? Peter said, Thou art the Son of the living God. And our Lord and Savior turned to Peter and said, Blessed are you, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this, but my Father is in heaven. Are you worthy of heaven? If you're in Christ, if Christ is in you, then these words from 1 John 4:17, Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth not is made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And I'll close with these words from Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. If Christ's love is in us, if we love the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because he first loved us, if we rest in him, then we can hear what John saw and sing with him, where he says in verses 11 of chapter 5, And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb. There's our worthiness. Are you worthy of heaven? If you're in Christ Jesus, you absolutely are. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, as such are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. Stand with me.